Thank you for this. It's nice to be back after the holidays. I think I've been almost two months without preaching. I think this is the most important preaching I've had this autumn. We pray that God will be with us. Jesus, we pray that you will come and speak into our hearts and touch us and draw us closer to you. Father, we long for your closeness and an even closer walk with you, Jesus, when with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. We pray that you will open us for the word that you want to teach us today. Lord, I pray humbly for your help to convey what you put on my heart. Come and speak, Lord, today. We open ourselves for you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. We have during the summer, we've had like a series or a theme, and I listened to the earlier preachings, and Anna has preached two times during July, and Daniel, and they have very good words that they have shared, and it's worth listening to them if you have missed the summer's teachings. But we will talk today about a phenomena that I'm following during my whole Christian life, and in my own life and in my own and other Christians' life, I would call it like a roller coaster Christianity. You can see in the biggest roller coasters in the world that it's like an incredible feeling when it turns on the top, and then it turns to combined fear and when it goes down. And I've noticed it during my whole life. And I've noticed many Christians live as a kind of like a roller coaster. It's a type of Christianity where Christians are constantly going up and down in their thoughts, in their thoughts, and in their relationship to God, and in their trust. And it can have many different reasons, but we can look a bit closer about. At this today, what does it mean if we live in a roller coaster Christianity? We are like going back and forth. Everything, nothing is stable. We are going back and forth between hope and despair, and feelings of closeness. We feel God is close. He is very close to me right now, but in the next moment, he feels very far away. We feel ourselves forgiven in one moment, but then we even doubt our salvation in the next moment. Or maybe God's love can work in us. So we live in like a roller coaster in different ways in our lives. For some people, this takes very strong expressions. They you can see that they are living in on top, but I think for many of us it's something deep on the inside, something we register, maybe a subtle feeling somewhere in the background that I'm not doing so well right now, that there's something that is wrong either with me or with my spiritual life. It's like a worry and an insecurity that we notice, but that we still somehow go pass by or don't worry about. It can be fun in a roller coaster but it's not so nice if life is like a roller coaster all the time. It can become very heavy with all the turns to handle it. That now God is with me, now he's not. Now he's close, now he's not. To constantly struggle with this, that where is God really? And I think it's important that we get a theologically right picture of our salvation and how secure it is. But we also need to understand that despite the overflowing grace that forgives us, it makes a difference in how we live here. It can be, we can live in the roller coaster partly because we may not have understood the salvation, but it can also be because of how we live. We will look at Ephesians 2 and verse 3 to 10. We have a little problem with the technology today, but you can listen carefully. So Ephesians 2 and 3 to 10, all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it's by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And the first thing I want to say regarding this theme is that salvation and your status in God's family, those are unchangeable, or your status in God's family, they are Paul talks about here, like what you once was before you learned to know Jesus Christ. He said that we were under the wrath because of the sin we had done. Because of the sin in this world, we were under the slavery of sin. We were bonded in our sinful desires, which hurt ourselves and our relationship to God and other people around us. This is where we come from. Every person on earth needs God's salvation and needs to get to know Jesus personally. In the midst of a well-doing society, so many things need to be look like it's good, and there we have money and we have all we need. In the middle of this world, every person needs to get to know Jesus Christ personally. And Paul says that it has happened an everlasting change in your life when you put faith to Jesus Christ, something that nothing can shake. He says, when you come to Jesus, note this text, what we read, that who is this about? Who is this about? It says God, who is God, he has made us living through Christ Jesus. It's by grace that we are saved. Which grace? God's grace, not our own goodness or our own works. He says he has raised us up with Christ. He has done it. And he says again, for it's by grace you have been saved through faith, and not, this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. So this change in your life comes through God's unquestionable deed toward you. It's not about us. Nothing can change that. Nothing can shake that. the only thing that we are asked to do is to receive it in faith. Faith means to move your trust from yourself to Him. So faith is in a way not a work. It's a rest. What do you rest in? Do you rest in your own works before God, or do you rest in what Jesus has done for you? It's to have faith to trust. So it's in our nature to trust in something, in someone. So he says, through faith we have gotten part of this. God has given this as a gift. It says, not by works, so that no one can boast. So verse 9. Not by works, so that no one can boast. In the moment you trust in Jesus and in His cross, in His grace, then God's life works in you. So then this becomes who you are before God. This is not something that goes back and forth, that one time you are God's child and the next you're not. The moment God has saved you, He has given this to you as gift. You are the child of God. You are saved and you are righteous. And this is unchangeable. That's why Paul says, this righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God looks at you through Jesus Christ. You are righteous, and He cleanses you through His blood. You become righteous before God. Nothing, no one can take this away from you. So we can say like this, that God has like marked you with His love. And He calls you righteous. And He calls you His child. This is a permanent state you have before Him. And it says here also, and He has put you in the heavenly with Christ. So already now, while you are on earth, when you believe in Jesus, you have a place before God in heaven. He has put you in the heavenly realm with Christ. You are in a way like a ruler together with Christ. Together, you will rule together with Christ. You have a heavenly standing position. You are also part of His family. In Ephesians it says, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of His household. Just like we are a part of a family here on earth, it doesn't change our status in family if we make mistakes or we fall or we sin. It might change the relationship, but it doesn't change the fact that you are a child, you are a son, you are a daughter. You are still part of the family. So our status in the family cannot change. What we are cannot be shaken. So why do I go through this? Again, this might be well-known things for you. But it's because I see that many live in this roller coaster where I base my status or my place in God's kingdom on my feelings. What do I build it on? Then I build it on works. If I base it on if I sinned today or how I did today, then we are back to works. I'm not trusting in that God's grace has for once and for all saved me and sealed my deal in the heavenly realm, that I am saved and I belong to God. many Christians live in that way, that one moment it's good, and often I feel close to God when it's going good, when I can stand against sin and the temptations, then I'm like on this roller coaster, euphoric top, and I feel now I'm close to God. But then we come into the valley, so to speak, and then I'm on the bottom again. And this becomes very, very difficult. If I feel I'm righteous, and now I feel I'm not. So even though we are righteous, we still fall in sin, into sin. And you never need to doubt if you put your faith in Jesus whether you are saved. When I lived in Sweden, there was a girl who sent me a message and said it's so difficult for me to know that I'm a Christian. And she had grown up in a Christian home and was part of the church and was part of a cell group, and she was a part of everything. But she said, still, I had such a difficult time to trusting in my salvation. And I asked, why do you have a difficult, why do you think you're not saved? Then she says, I don't see it in my life. I can't live right. But I fall in still into the same sins, and I still make mistakes. I want to do the right thing, but I'm not able to. And we wrote a bit back and forth, and I said, it's not really about if you can live right or not. And then I thought about sending a lot of Bible passages, and then I stopped myself up and thought that, wait a minute, I noticed it's enough with one Bible passage. You can trust in this. In 1 John 5:11-13, it says, and this is the testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Whoever has the Son, whoever has received Jesus, that person has eternal life. Then you have received life. If you have put faith in Jesus without trusting at all in your own deeds and like counting on your own deeds, then you have eternal life. Your righteousness, your salvation before God, your status in the family is not something that goes back and forth. And this is so important to declare once and for all, because we will meet this challenge again and again. And at least I don't want to live like that. And during a big part of my Christian life, I lived like this. And when I was tempted to think that, what if I'm not God's son? And then I went back and read these truths again, and to become rooted again and again. Nothing has changed in my status. I'm still God's son. I'm His own. I belong to Him. It cannot be changed. I have maybe asked this, that can I lose my salvation? And there are different opinions. I think you cannot by mistake lose your salvation by sinning. That now I sinned one time too much, because God's grace is always bigger than our sin. You would completely knowingly in word and deed turn away from God and Christ and say that I no longer belong to Him. I think there's also, but you cannot lose your salvation by mistake. But it's never your sins that make that you would end up in hell. The only reason that anyone would belong in hell is why if we believed in Jesus Christ or not. It depends on if we believe in Jesus, not how much we may have sinned. This we could speak a lot about and much more. But what would happen if we would stay more at this more often? That, wait a minute, this is unchangeable. I don't need to live in this roller coaster. There are things that nothing can change. And when I sin, when I fall, I come back to God and I get rooted in Him. How much quicker would not this roller coaster like even out? If we would come to God that and say that I thank you that I'm your child and that this cannot be changed, that I have a place in heaven, that I'm a place of I'm a part of your family and that I'm saved. I think that simply the thankfulness over this can be very important. So this is the one side of it, of our roller coaster. So the truth that are unchangeable can be deeper in our lives. And the other part that I want to come to, and this might be more difficult to receive, it has taken many lives of many a long time of my Christian life to become clear about this, also from other Christians. One thing that in one way or another can be written up, that because of the grace, it doesn't matter so much what I do. So it's the grace that does everything. So actually, in the end, it doesn't matter so much how I live my life or what I do. If I sin, then the grace is still there. So I can't really motivate why I should stop to sin. Why I should take it seriously. Yes, I ask God forgiveness, but it doesn't matter so much I fall again. Of course, we don't say it out like that. No, none of us think like this out loud or knowingly. But the second point I want to give is that the fellowship with God, a closeness to Christ, and the anointing of the Spirit, they are while your salvation, your status in the family, that you are saved, nothing can change that. It's something that is yours. It's your status in before God. But your fellowship, your with God and with the Trinity, your close relationship with Jesus, and to see the anointing of the Spirit, that is decided based on what you do. And this is sometimes frightening. We cannot speak too much about the grace, but we maybe emphasize it so much that we don't take sin for real. It is influenced how we live. It took quite many years of my life. I came to faith when I was 16, but after that it took many years of me to make a distinction here. And I was thinking, I'm always God's child. I always have this status in His family. It doesn't change. But when I sin, it still hurts God. It does something in the relationship. Just that God already has given His Son and It doesn't mean that sin doesn't mean anything. So God has already on the cross in Jesus Christ forgiven you all your sins. This the Bible says, and we receive us by turning around and putting our faith in Jesus again each time we sin. But that doesn't mean that the sin still isn't as bad as before the cross. You just need to look at the cross and at Jesus. What does sin to Jesus on the cross? It breaks Him. It smashes Him into pieces. That is what sin does. That's what sin still does. The sin is still as serious before the after the cross as before the cross, that we have forgiveness for it, it doesn't mean that sin still wouldn't destroy. Are you following? But maybe we haven't separated this in our lives, that wait a minute, that I have forgiveness for sin doesn't mean that it doesn't mean something. If I would, for example, lie to my parents, treat my parents wrong in one way or another, like be cold and ununderstanding, so what the Bible says is sin, to not respect my parents. Regardless of what I do, I'm still their son, I'm still their child. I'm still probably welcome in the family, but if I live like that, it changes the relationship. The status is the same. I'm still son, I'm still the child, but I cannot live like that without the relationship being influenced. I will have a worse relationship and more difficult to find close fellowship. There will be a distance. Maybe it will be even impossible to have fellowship. There are such families where people still don't really have fellowship with one another. Isaiah 59, 1-2 says, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. So Jesus has died on a cross for the sin. So the sin is like fixed in that sense. But each time I sin, I might hurt people or God by going against his will, because in that moment there I sever something in the relationship, something that the relationship is affected by it. Then I ask for forgiveness and turn around. I come back to God and promise that I will never do this again. I ask for forgiveness. I turn around and God restores the relationship. But during that moment when I sin, it becomes a distance. Even if Jesus has restored the relationship and the cross has, but any time we go back to the sin, this valley is still there again. And we need to turn. It doesn't change the status. I'm still God's child. I'm also righteous before God because of what Jesus has done for me. I have a status as saved, and I will come to heaven. But the relationship is broken for that moment when we sin. So when God forgives sin when we ask him for it, that doesn't change this restored relationship with God we have gotten from God completely from his grace. But our fellowship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are affected when we sin. And I think this is the second reason why many Christians can experience a roller coaster in their lives, that we cannot trust these foundational truths. And the second is that we maybe are happy with living in a continuous roller coaster, that I want to live righteous, but I still allow sin in my life. We never quite completely decide that now I want to make that God now I want to completely free myself. It's still only God who can free us from sin. But it has to do also with our will, do I really want to make a reckoning with sin, with the sin? And I think because of this, then for many, God can feel distant many times. If I allow something to reoccur each week or each day, I go back to the sin, and then I come back to God, and then I create this roller coaster, and then it's difficult for me to experience God's fellowship and His closeness with this kind of roller coaster in my life. And trust me, I've been there. It can be very difficult to be get free from those deeply rooted sins that we might struggle with. It can go good for a time, and we might think now it's over, that now I have won the victory over sin. So it's like this yellow plastic duck. We hold it under the water, and we think now it has drowned. But then we let go, and it comes back to the surface. And it comes back to the surface again. It's more about what we do with it than that you will be able to hold a duck under. Is sin something that we easily wish away, that God now forgive me? Or it is something that deeply disturbs me, and that I understand that this influences my relationship with God and with other people. In James 4:4 it says, "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God." The letter of James is written to Christians. Do you know that friendship with the world means enmity with God? If we still want to flirt with sin, and we don't want to really from our hearts turn around, then we become God's enemies. It disturbs the relationship. Maybe we don't want to be the enemies of God, but our relationship is affected. We all fall into sin now and then. This is not about that. It's not about that we should be able to live completely sin-free, but it's about an attitude towards sin. When we turn around, He restores us. One of the most well-known Kenneth Collins, a known Methodist theologian, he was once in a meeting. He's a very known theologian, and he explained it like this. If you think of a married couple who love each other, and a man expresses his love toward her, but one day she sees him kissing another woman. And that's very, very disturbing for the relationship. And he turns around and he asks for forgiveness. And of course, it takes time. But in time, the relationship is restored. But then suddenly it happens again. He again kisses another woman. He simply likes to kiss other women. But he always turns around and asks for forgiveness, but then it happens again. And then he was like, that we cannot think that it wouldn't affect the relationship, however much we turn around and ask for forgiveness, unless we are willing to take responsibility for the pattern. So even if a person can forgive many times and give another chance, and God is not a person, this we need to remember. But can the fellowship grow? Can we come deeper in our relationship with God, and we handle it the same way, that God can always forgive, He can set us free, He can renew us and restore us. but can the trust in the relationship grow if we live in this in roller coaster and we don't ask what has grace to really set us free? God is not a person, so these comparisons don't work completely, but we sometimes diminish the grace because of our status in the family, but when it's about our relationship to God on the way to heaven, our closeness to Him, we might sometimes diminish the sin and how much sin can destroy. And it makes a difference. The Bible says it makes a difference how we live. In 1 Corinthians 3:14-17, it says, if what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is sacred and you together are the temple. This Paul writes to Christians that some build with gold and precious stones in a good way with character, and others build with straw and grass, so with very bad materials. He says that it will not affect it will not affect but your works will burn up. He says that nothing can change where you end up if you believe in Jesus, but in the end there will be rewards, that the one who builds in the right way will get a reward on the other side. That is also conditional, what God will give us on the other side. That is conditional. That there are rewards. And James talks about crowns. Those who continue in righteousness, they will receive a crown that they can put down or by the feet of Christ. Everyone coming to heaven is a reward. But he also says, but those who live who let God work in them and who take responsibility for the sins and the problems in their lives, they will receive a reward in heaven on the other side. So what can I do if I want to come back to a close relationship with God and I don't want to live in this roller coaster? Focus very much on what is unchangeable. Live in it daily and think this doesn't change, and pray and thank for God for it daily, that you are His child, that you are His child. And at the same time, God tells us to turn around from sin together with God, with the Holy Spirit, and let Him work in us. And here it says in James 4:6-10, but He gives us more grace. So do not be friends with the world to become God's enemies, it says, continues. But He gives us more grace. That is why the scripture says, God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. Here it says clearly that if we start to work on those things in our lives and turn to God, then He will turn to us. we need to cleanse ourselves. When we humble ourselves, he will lift us up. So there is a way back, and it can be an end to the roller coaster. And I'm not saying that you would come to a place where you can no longer fall, but you can come to a place where you live more compassionate, more clearly to him or for him. And you can say to God, this is what I want. I don't want to be here on this like borderline anymore. That I want to live wholeheartedly for you, Lord. I think that God is calling us to such a life. He doesn't want our lives to go up and down all the time. He wants to give us a steady walk. And I think it's also something of the best thing we can give ourselves as a gift when we live in a world that looks as it does. And we can think, wait a minute, do I want to live in a world that's upside down, also myself live so that my life is upside down? That no, I don't need to experience this in my relationship with God.